This is the Urban Connection, the weekly show on issues that affect the community.
This week, we talk with a woman who was stuck in the rut of conventional success, then wondered how she ended up feeling stuck, restless, and unfulfilled. She'll offer some suggestions to help you determine what fulfillment and success may mean in your life.
We often do not stop to question where some of our ideas and beliefs about where we're supposed to be come from. And it's not necessarily that it's bad where it's come from, but I think it's very easy to just keep operating and marching to that programming, even if it doesn't really line up with what you want for yourself.
I'm Leonard Birdsong. The Urban Connection starts right after this.
Now, the Urban Connection continues. Once again, here's Leonard Birdsong.
Hello, folks. This is Leonard Birdsong back on the Urban Connection. Glad you're here with us. My guest today is Mackie Mousavi. She's a corporate career veteran and master's trained genetic counselor who left the glory of society-defined success to become a transformational coach, a motivational speaker, and an author. Her book is called The High Achiever's Guide. In this book, she provides the mental tools and support to enable highly transformative personnel development that focuses on reprogramming to set new mindsets. Mackie, thank you for coming on the Urban Connection. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me, Leonard.
All right. Well, you are a high achiever, but I want you to define what high achievers are to our audience before we get into the other questions.
Sure. So a high achiever is anyone who, you know, is ambitious, goal-driven, has lots of plans that they execute against to create the kind of success that they've envisioned for themselves, whether that's about making a certain amount of money, getting to a certain position, you know, being the best at something. There are a lot of interesting, traits that go along with being in that mindset. And, you know, often those are people that may identify as type A and like to have control over situations. So, yeah, that's kind of how I think of high achievers.
So are you or were you a high achiever?
Yes. So that's a great question. Sometimes I think of myself as maybe a recovering one. But yes, I still am. However, I've done a lot of work to take out some of what was actually working against me in that initial mindset so that I can be that person and be a high achiever, but do it in a way that does not necessarily put a ton of pressure on me, as well as kind of driving me in directions that I didn't really want to be in. I think a lot of what I was pursuing, I had been told was important, but I came to realize wasn't necessarily the right fit for me.
Tell me a little bit about your upbringing and what your family expected of you.
I'm a first-generation American citizen. My parents were immigrants, and my dad came here to study and get a PhD, I think is a story for a lot of people that come from around the world.
Yep.
And even though it was never really verbalized a lot of the time, I just picked up on the fact that higher education, you know, quote unquote, making something of yourself, creating a good career, you know, those were the kinds of things that had value, and that it was important for me to be a good student. It was important for me to pick a degree or align myself with a career that was going to give me status and provide good money and be those kind of typical, this is what we think of as success kind of stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand that fully. I have a little bit of that myself. I certainly had goals that my family helped me set when I was younger, and thank heavens I was pretty successful. But listen, let's talk about your book. You gave me a copy or sent me a copy of it, and I actually read it, and I understand most of it. Let's sort of start with the fact that you talk about in part one, the first chapter talks about you've been programmed. What does that mean?
Yeah. So I like to compare our minds sometimes to computers. And what I mean by that is that the way that we grow up, and in a way that I shared the story, you know, where your parents come from, what your family history is, you know, whether or not people go to college, or maybe you'll be the first to go to college, and, you know, all of the things that society teaches you or that you get from being in the socioeconomic class that you're in, and then eventually what industry you end up in and what part of the country you live in, you know, whether you live in an urban or a rural area, all of those things come together to create a picture of what you begin to believe life is supposed to be and look like. And that's what I refer to as programming. We often do not stop to question where some of our ideas and beliefs about where we're supposed to be come from. And it's not necessarily that it's bad where it's come from, but I think it's very easy to just keep operating and marching to that programming, even if it doesn't really line up with what you want for yourself. And so that first step is to kind of realize all those experiences program you to believe what you believe, and you may wake up at some point and go, I'm not really sure that this is where I wanted to be.
So does that lead to break the chains?
Yeah, absolutely. Because you need to know where you're coming from and where you're starting from to get to that place where you can start to break some of those belief systems and repattern them and see what patterns you've been in because of your belief system and your own way that you talk to yourself, and the things that get reinforced from the outside are, you know, driving you to stay on that path. And in particular, you know, this, what we often end up seeking is this validation from other people that who we are is okay, that who we are is enough. And because we are very often taught with reward systems, whether we get rewarded for our hard work with good grades or money or hard work with promotions or bigger salaries, you know, a lot of that stuff tends to kind of keep us bound, really, which is why I say break the chains, even when it's not the right fit. And it's important to understand where old belief systems are coming up so that you can assess those and decide if those need to go away and be replaced with something else.
And I think you did a good job with telling that, because, you know, I've read the book and it's well written and got some important things here. You have some chapters that I sort of chuckle at. And the first one is chapter 5, How Fear Has Made You Its Bitch.
Yep. I knew you were going to pick that one.
Well, you know me. I got to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah, that's right.
So tell me about it. Tell the listeners and me about.
Yeah. So I really think, you know, it's important for us to understand, you know, fear plays such an important role for us as human beings. And we are taught, you know, instinctively as humans, we have instincts about when we should avoid certain situations because they're dangerous. As well as, you know, certain people, we can sometimes get intuition like, you know, this is a person to stay away from, or we know mm-hmm. that we shouldn't be in a certain area. But that same mechanism can actually keep us from moving forward and doing things that aren't actually dangerous, but our minds perceive them in the same way. So for instance, if I want to go and be a public speaker and I'm really afraid of public speaking, my body may react as if I'm being chased by tigers when really all I'm doing is standing on a stage, right? But it's very powerful. You know, it's a very powerful reaction that we have to fear. And if we're not careful when it comes to really pursuing the things we want to pursue, we allow that kind of instinctive and often physical reaction to doing something that's outside of our comfort zone keep us from moving forward. So that whole chapter is about how I believe that there are these different illusions that are fueled by fear that really keep us from realizing our full potential.
Mm-hmm. So the next chapter that I read was, don't just pray, row the damn boat.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. You know, we live in an interesting age. There's a lot of information available. I think there's been a really interesting movement towards mindfulness and spirituality and things of that nature, which are all very positive. But sometimes I believe that there can be this kind of false misconception that as long as we think positively and maybe we meditate and we do some things, that the outside circumstances are just going to line up the way that we want them to. And the don't just pray, row the damn boat comes from, it's great to have those practices and to visualize what you want and to spend time thinking about it. But unless you take inspired action toward getting to where you want to go, nothing's going to change. You know, if you were in a boat in the middle of a lake and you really wanted to get to shore, you probably just wouldn't sit there and think about how nice it'd be to be on shore. You'd grab a paddle and you'd start rowing.
Right.
And this is the metaphor of, you know, there can be a lot of things that you want, but unless you start taking these steps towards that direction, all the positive thinking in the world's not going to get you there.
But you got there, and what I want the listeners to know, the very important chapter, it's chapter 8. What are you worth? We all have to figure that out. What are you worth? Tell us about that, Mackie.
I believe that worthiness is so tied into the programming piece that we talked about. You know, if we watched a parent suffer with low self-esteem or struggle in any way, you know, professionally, or maybe even have to work more than one job just to kind of make it by, whatever the case may be, you know, it settles inside of you in this way where you may learn that you need to prove something in order to be worth something, or that can translate into, you know, unless I work really hard, work really long hours, and get a salary that looks like this, I haven't proved that I'm worthy. Or unless I get this kind of recognition, I don't feel as if I have value. So it's this way of attaching what we believe we're worth to what somebody else is giving us to show us that worth, rather than being internally very sure of what we're worth, regardless of what tangible evidence we have on the outside that that's true.
Tangible evidence can be like the amount of money you make, how many degrees you have, and all of that.
Exactly.
We're talking with Mackie Mousavi, the author of The High Achiever's Guide, Transform Your Success Mindset and Begin in the Quest to Fulfillment. We'll take a quick break and be back with more in a moment here on The Urban Connection.
More of The Urban Connection straight ahead. Stay tuned. Let's return to The Urban Connection. Once again, here's Leonard Birdsong.
Welcome back. Our guest is Mackie Mousavi, the author of The High Achiever's Guide, Transform Your Success Mindset and Begin the Quest to Fulfillment. Mackie, what was the moment that convinced you to put all of this wise advice on paper?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I actually realized that I needed to write a book before I ever left my corporate job. And I didn't even really know where the thought came from. But in my own quest to figure out why I had everything that I wanted and more, and couldn't manage to feel fulfilled or happy about any of it, I really started to consume a lot of information. And I read a lot of books. I listened to podcasts. I was following certain influencers, and I would get a lot from each of them. But what I found, at least in my own experience, that was kind of unique was that a lot of books that are written around how to help yourself, you know, to a different way of living, they tend to be written by creative people or people who are naturally entrepreneurial. And I did not grow up with the mindset of being friendly to risk. That wasn't part of my mindset. And I feel like a lot of creative people and entrepreneurial people are okay with taking risks. And so I really wanted to take the high achiever type A control oriented mindset and write something for them specifically around how to take some of these steps and what to understand about yourself in a language that was coming from somebody like them rather than coming from somebody who isn't built necessarily in the same way because they're already more open to certain things.
Right. All right. So you, you have sort of touched people, and the question I think you ask tacitly maybe, successful but not satisfied? The surprising emptiness of success and how to handle it. What do you mean by that? And how do you, you know, what kind of people do you talk to about this?
Sure. I think I was the poster child for that. You know, I was successful. I was making more money than I thought I would ever make. I couldn't conceive of that, you know, when I was growing up, of making the amount of money that I was making or being where I was. And it didn't matter. You know, I woke up one day and realized that I was completely miserable, that in fact, the more of the money and success that I had on paper, the less happy I really was. And it all came down to this idea that it was absolutely essential for me to revisit that programming around what success means and rewrite it so that it made sense for me instead of just checking the boxes that everybody else deemed a success. So I believe a lot of people are in that boat. When I was in my corporate job, I would say many, many, many people around me were in the same boat that I was in, but they felt trapped by it just like I did and didn't feel like there was a way out, that there was just this was just the necessary sacrifice in order to have that success, was to not be happy. And I wasn't willing to accept that.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, I guess the next question is, how should people who are ready to make a change get started? How did you get started? What do you tell others?
Yeah, I think it's important to find find people who've been through it. You know, so that was one of the other reasons why I decided to write a book. I think there's a lot of great books in the self-help genre out there. Or if reading's not your thing, listen to audiobooks. Do some Google searching about inspirational podcasts for personal growth, and start consuming some of that stuff. But at the same time, realize that as you become more and more enlightened and more aware of what may be holding you back, that the knowledge itself is critical, but it is not what's going to change your life. It's really, really, really important to set aside time on a daily basis, even if it's just a few minutes, figuring out what small things you can be doing with the way that you think, repatterning your thought processes and your behaviors, spending some time with a journal. Every single day, you need to put consistent effort towards this change. And it is exponential. You will grow exponentially from these very brief, you know, but consistent periods of applying yourself. Nothing is going to change just because you have the knowledge. So it's really important for people to understand this is not an easy process, but it can happen relatively quickly if you just commit to doing the work.
Mm-hmm. Now, in reading the book, you know, I read that you were, and I guess I'd never heard of it, you were a counselor for genetics.
Yes.
And you also worked in IT. Is that it?
Yes, that's right.
And you made a lot of money. You've already said that. You were miserable. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just have to come to ask, what made you really finally break out? You've been talking a little bit about it, but I'm just not sure.
What the eureka moment was?
Yes, right. That's a good way of putting it, Mackie.
Right. I got to the point where a series of events, and this is another thing I think sometimes people really need to tune into, is sometimes the outside events, the things that we're going through, can start to show us that where we are is not the right place to be. And we can become really increasingly frustrated. So I faced a number of obstacles in the last 12 to 18 months professionally as I was making these mental plans to leave or, you know, figure out what I could do next, that were really interesting. I had these professional setbacks. I was starting to have some interesting interactions with people that I had normally had good relationships with, and things started kind of to go sideways, or, you know, like a promotion that my manager was really trying to get for me ended up getting blocked by another executive. There was just a series of little things like that that kept happening that, luckily for me, in my enlightened state, I understood were like my signs and messages that it really was time for me to plan my exit, that I was kind of being shown, you know, your path here is closing off. So if you're trying to hedge and trying to kind of get out of making a big change, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so I recognized for myself that I needed help to really make that change. And about 6 months before I was like, I think I'm going to be ready to leave in the summer, I hired a coach and I said, this is my line in the sand. This is the date that I am leaving, that I'm going to be leaving my corporate job. And so in the next 6 months, we need to execute on the plan that's going to help me get out of here. And it was just a choice. So here's the thing. I feel so much more empowered having made that choice than waiting for something catastrophic to happen, like losing my job, having the company go through layoffs, which actually has happened in the last few years at the company that I was at, or some other way of ending that wasn't my choice. And I think so often people wait until something catastrophic happens to feel incentivized to make change. And I deliberately didn't want to do that. So I made the choice. And in that way, the eureka moment was all inside my mind versus a series of circumstances that took place.
Mm-hmm. So you walked away when you might have been promoted. Is that right?
I walked away when they were working on a promotion for me that I had wanted to pursue. But it ended up being blocked. And that to me ended up feeling like kind of the last straw, if you will, of evidence that I really needed to move on. And also, I think as they were working on that, I was thinking to myself, man, I don't even really know if I want this. You know, that's another thing, is looking around at the people whose positions you aspire to be in and making sure that what's happening with them is something that you really want for yourself. And I had to be really honest and say to myself, I don't actually know that I want this, because that's not how I want my life to look.
But it has worked out for you, right?
It has. Absolutely. I don't regret it for an instant.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to tell the listeners that your book is The High Achiever's Guide: Transform Your Success Mindset and Begin the Quest to Fulfillment. It's on Amazon. But let me move into this. I recommend people who may be feeling they're stuck, if they're high achievers or not, that maybe they need to change their life. But mm-hmm. You became what you call a transformational and executive coach.
Yes.
What does that mean? What do you do, and how did you come about to learn to do this?
Sure. So a transformational coach is somebody who, there's lots of different kinds of coaching, and there's a lot of different kinds of life coaching. Transformational coaching is really focused on creating deep change in the way that you think and operate, and really transforming your life. And because I had this background with genetic counseling, where, I had some experience with working with people one-on-one and had an educational background in counseling, and the pieces of my job that I enjoyed so much were the people interactions with the team members that I was managing and helping them get to where they wanted to be. And then going through my own process of making all these changes, I realized that I really wanted to help other people make these big, meaningful changes to their mindset and to their lives. And that's how I ended up in this space. And many of my clients are executives as well. So it's not that they all want to leave their corporate jobs, but often they're worried, like, hey, I want this, but I also want to make sure that I don't completely forget who I am or end up over-sacrificing in order to have it. And that's something that I can help rebalance for people as well, so that they can continue along their path if that's what feels right to them, but doing it in a way that's really authentic to them and isn't just, making them kind of a cog in a bigger machine.
All right. I have a better understanding of it now. So what do you do as a speaker? What kind of speaking do you do?
Well, I talk about a lot of different topics. I've done talks about a lot of what we're talking about: how to redefine success, how to overcome fear. In fact, one of my specialty areas is dealing with toxic relationships as well, because I think if you have toxic relationships, whether they're personal or professional, that have not been addressed, that is a really, really bad way to stay stuck in every other area of your life.
Mackie, stop, Mackie. What is toxic? What does that mean?
Sure. So toxic is any kind of relationship where somebody is basically behaving manipulatively towards you. And what you do is you give in to their requests and their behaviors because you're trying to just not rock the boat or try to make your life easier. But really, in the long term, you set up this very bad dynamic where someone's taking advantage of you, or someone is using your sense of obligation to them to get what they want. And you're not necessarily getting a whole lot out of it, except you're kind of just playing a part in getting mm-hmm. them to where mm-hmm. they want to be. Unfortunately, there's plenty of that to go around. And every single person I have ever worked with has at least one of those relationships in their life.
Well, I always give my interviewees the last word. You know, my program is aimed at the urban community, the African-American community. Uh-huh. What kind of words of wisdom would you like to leave to my community?
I think issues of social justice are near and dear to my heart, and I know that we're in a very interesting time right now. So I would just say, our lives and our communities and our society are richer for the diversity that's in them. And, just continue to show up and be who you are and let that benefit the rest of us.
Those are great words, Mackie. Thank you so much for coming on the Urban Connection. Okay.
Thank you.
And that's all for this week. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Leonard Birdsong, inviting you to join us next time for more of The Urban Connection.
That wraps up this episode of The Urban Connection with your host, Leonard Birdsong, a production of Syndication Networks of Chicago. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of The Urban Connection.